One way that we connect with one another is through talking, conversation. Have you ever had the experience of meeting up with someone who you haven't seen for a long time, and all of a sudden you're just talking like you never even had been apart? It's wonderful. You're still connected. You're still in relationship. On the other hand, most of us have people, sometimes it's old Uncle Charlie, with whom we just dread having a conversation because it always seems to turn into an argument. And we never seem to be able to agree on anything. And the problem with that is that sometimes then we begin to avoid those people. And any tentative relationship that we might have had with them is broken. It's easier to limit our conversations to people that we agree with. But when we do that, our world gets smaller and smaller because there's always something to disagree about. And beyond that, we lose the opportunity to learn something, to hear something that we might not know. The question we want to think about today is how can we keep talking, navigate those difficult conversations, and stay in relationship with one another? It can be done, absolutely, and there are tools that we can learn in order to do that. Have you ever noticed that we learn very much of what we know about Jesus by listening to him, listening in on conversations that he had? If you have a Bible that Jesus' words are in red letters and you just thumb through it, you'll notice in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that very much of those red letters are part of a conversation that Jesus is having with someone else. Jesus had conversations with all kinds of people, from the highest to the lowest, from the easy to talk to the most difficult. Somehow Jesus was able to create a space where people felt safe to talk to him. The scripture verse for today is one of those safe conversations. It is a conversation with a scribe. Now, scribes, if you know anything about biblical times, scribes were persons who were very concentrated on the law and the rules. They studied them diligently because they wanted to be faithful. They didn't want to break any of God's rules. But they studied them so carefully that they began to add to them more and more rules and more laws until it would be impossible for any normal person to keep all of those rules and laws. There was always something, and usually a lot of things, to feel guilty about. And on the other hand, Jesus had a way of summarizing the laws and of bringing people the grace of God. And so the scribes and Jesus were often at loggerheads because the scribes believed that Jesus didn't care about the laws, that he was basically saying, oh, just do whatever you want to do. And so the scribes were constantly, you'll find in these conversations, they were constantly trying to trick Jesus. They were trying to get him to say something that they could say, oh, that's against God's law, so it's obvious that you are not speaking from God. So that sets the stage for this little conversation. In the conversation, the scribe asks Jesus a question. Now, this could have been a trick question. However, Jesus answered truthfully and honestly and respectfully. The scribe asked him, which commandment is the first of all? And Jesus didn't roll his eyes. I can't imagine him rolling his eyes. He didn't say, oh, you're just trying to trick me. But he answered honestly, the first is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And because Jesus answered him with respect and honesty, he did the same back to Jesus. Then the scribes said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that God is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love God with all your heart and with all your understanding and all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." They offered one another respect. Jesus started. Jesus began by meeting him with respect. And the conversation ended in a safe place with mutual respect and even love. Jesus complimenting this scribe with whom he was often at odds, this class of people with whom he was often at odds. He ends by saying, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." The book of Romans calls us to work for peace in all of our lives, but especially in our conversations. We're thinking about our conversations this morning. The book of Romans, again, that verse that we just heard earlier, Paul writes, "If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." So the question, again, is how, in this polarized environment that we live in, how do we do that? What are the tools that help us to keep talking to one another and stay in relationship even when we disagree? Well, Pastor Jenny gave us a very, very good start last week because she reminded us that it starts with the heart. It starts with our understanding that the person that we are talking to is not an object. They're not somebody whose mind we have to change. They're not an obstruction to us, but they're another person. The book, one of the books that is offered in those resources that we offered you is called The Anatomy of Peace. And the authors write, "When you go into a conversation with a heart of peace, you see the other person as someone with hopes, needs, cares, and fears as real as your own. Creating a safe place begins with a heart of peace." And if you have a hard time getting that heart of peace, if you have a hard time just not being all upset when you meet this person, it's a good time to pray about it. It's a good time to ask the Holy Spirit to be within you and to be between the two of you so that you can begin with a heart of peace. And remember that the goal is to keep talking. It's not to convince or to manipulate or to say the best thing, but it's to keep talking with one another. And I understand that if it's a faith conversation that you're in, especially if it's a conversation that you're in with somebody you're very close to, you want to convince them. You want them to believe as you believe. But, you know, we only earn the right to be heard by listening, by being in conversation, in a safe conversation. So I invite you to follow along in the bulletin. Under the message, there are some fill-in-the-blanks. So you might want to follow along because I'm going to be offering you a few tools to create a safe and respectful place to continue to be in conversation. And the first tool that I want to offer you, I believe we'll have it on the screen here, is number one, refuse to make what is called the fool's choice. And the fool's choice is, "I'm right and you're wrong." Or if you lack a little confidence, "I'm wrong and you're right." Refuse to make that choice. Go into the conversation with curiosity. What can I learn from this conversation? How might there be a third way? Not your way and my way, but a third way. Go into the conversation looking for things that you hold in common with each other, things that you can agree on. And it's amazing when you can think about that and go into this conversation with a good heart. It's amazing how you'll find many things that you agree on. So that's the first tool that I would offer. The second tool that I would offer is listen carefully and respectfully. Try to learn how the person got to the opinion that they have. Try to learn what brought them to that place, what experiences, what things have they read, what have they heard that brought them to that place that is so different from yours. Go into it curious. And then let them know that you heard what they said. It's not necessarily that you agree with them, but you're saying, I heard you say that you like grape soda because it's purple and you like purple. Not, yeah, I heard you say you like that disgusting grape soda because it's purple, just because it's purple. You know how that goes. As we restate and speak with respect, with non-judgmental kind of language, and it feels good. It feels good when you're in that kind of conversation to know that someone has heard you, to understand that maybe they don't agree with you, but they've heard what you had to say. So the second tool is listen carefully and respectfully. The third tool is one that you good people, and I know so many of you, you're so gentle and you are reluctant to do this, but this one is really important. Share your story fully. Speak persuasively, not abrasively. Because you see, if you don't share your side and what you think, you may become angry, you may become resentful, and you are denying that other person the chance to learn from this conversation. But be careful that you're not speaking judgmentally as you're speaking to them. Just share your story. And really, that honors the person. That shows that you trust them. That shows respect for the other person. And it keeps the conversation going. If you refuse to share your story, you are going to one of the great conversation stoppers, which is silence. You know, a lot of times conversations stop for two reasons, because of silence or because of violence. That is, raising your voice, getting angry on one side or the other. In the book Crucial Conversations, the authors write, "The mistake most of us make is that we believe we have to choose between telling the truth and keeping a friend. And that's not true. In fact, often when we are willing to share truthfully and openly, our relationship actually deepens and gets better." And the fourth tool that I would offer you would be keep the conversation safe. Be aware of the cues that the conversation is becoming unsafe, that one of you is going to silence or violence. If the other person refuses to speak to you or participate in the conversation, you can ask, I'm sorry, have I come on too strong? You can think back on what you said. Did I say something judgmental? Do I need to deal with that? Just kind of be in conversation about how come the conversation is stopping. It means sometimes slowing down. It means thinking about what kind of voice you're using. Is it a loud voice? Is it an angry voice? It means maybe taking a break. And sometimes when the conversation comes to a place where you really can't talk to each other anymore, it's a good thing to maybe just step back and take a break. But take a break and say, we're going to come back to this and we're going to continue to speak with one another. In the end, you can't force a conversation with someone with whom you disagree. You can only invite, and they have the right to say no. But we are called as followers of Jesus to do our best, to do as Paul said in that passage from Romans, if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. We don't need to agree. We can still be at peace. And again, the reward of being able to be in those kind of conversations is that your relationship may continue and actually deepen if you can be in conversation and even agree to disagree with one another. The reward is also you might learn something. You might learn something either about the other person or about the subject that you're disagreeing on. I would challenge you this week to choose one of those tools for keeping talking and staying in conversation and practice it. See if you can find a place to practice and improve your skills. Because the blessing in our families, in our community, and in our world will be, as the psalmist says, and as we read earlier, how very good and pleasant it is when people live together in peace. That would be the blessing. What a blessing it would be to our families. We normally have about 300 people in our various worship services on a Sunday morning. What would happen if each one of us would just learn one of these skills to keep talking with one another in our polarized kind of environment? What might happen? We would be joining people all over this country who are seeking to have different kinds of conversations than those that we often hear in the public speech. We would be contributing to peace. So I challenge you to learn these skills. Just pick one of them to learn. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you and me. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that Jesus is our model to keep talking even when the conversation turns difficult, our model to stay in relationship and to stay in love. Lord, be with us and give us hearts of peace so that we would model for the world around us the blessing of living together in peace. Amen.